It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And this is news that you can use from Car Edge for Tuesday, April 23rd, with your hosts, me, Ray, and, well, the t-shirted kid, Zach. How are you today, handsome?
Doing great. Today's show brought to you by us, CarEdge.com. If we can help you out, my dad and I started the company 4 years ago. New dealers, no hassle, serious savings. I like that tagline. You know what else I like, Dad? I like bringing in expert guests. We've got one today, Brandon from Car Questions Answered. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm good. I don't know. I mean, we throw around that expert tag pretty loosely, I think. So we should probably ease that up a bit.
Brandon, don't take this wrong, but it doesn't qualify. It doesn't take much to qualify as an expert here on the Car Edge Ray and Zach channel. So you are indeed an expert, my friend, because we have anointed you as such.
Ugly truth about General Motors, folks. They make a boatload of money. Holy cow. GM posts higher Q1 profit ups 2024 financial guidance. The best first quarter General Motors has ever had. Automotive News. I don't know what they're doing with this photo of Mary Barra. Whatever.
Looks like it's her birthday.
Yeah, 24% increase in first quarter net income. That's bottom line profit for General Motors. And what I wanted to pull up here, guys, to have this conversation is when we look at inventory, GM is actually doing the best of the domestics in terms of inventory, like their day's supply. Cadillac, 63 days supply. Chevrolet, a 69 days supply. GMC, a 76 days supply. Compare that to, I don't know, Stellantis or Ford, the other domestic brands. They are struggling with inventory. Is it actually that shocking then that General Motors is making money hand over fist while their competitors, their peers are struggling with inventory, maxing out on inventory? What was your take on this, Pops, when you saw GM record first quarter profits?
My first thought was, well, I guess they have this more dialed in than we would have thought. And maybe they found that you can make money selling things like the Chevrolet Trax and the Buick and Vista, that there can be entry level price point vehicles that sell well and still, I don't know, contribute nicely to your bottom line. That was the first thing I thought of. What did you think, Brandon?
So I feel like of the big three, I mean, GM, they've handled production as far as what they're getting to dealers. Days of inventory, their supply, everything. They've been the best of the three. Now we're still seeing, I mean, dealerships, they have way more trucks than they did a year ago. You're not seeing the problems like what we're seeing at Ford and Ram, where okay, they have full lots and then they have storage lots that are filled. And then they have, okay, well, we got this lot that's somewhere down the road right here, and it's getting to capacity at this point. We're not really seeing that with GM. So I do feel like as far as production goes, they have put their foot down a little bit better than the other manufacturers as far as keeping the pedal off the metal as much as you would want to say that.
Yeah, that's what I've seen as well. I mean, it's become very clear that General Motors has handled the inventory oversupply as best as possible. Their brands have the lowest days supply relative to, quite frankly, most of their peers, except for Honda and Toyota. And I think you made a good point, Dad, with the Trax and the Invista. One of the executives at General Motors, Jacobson, said that they've built in an assumption that new vehicle prices will drop 2 to 2.5% this year, though pricing was essentially flat in the first quarter. GM has taken the more affordable track, pun intended, track here, of really looking for cheaper options for consumers and building into their pricing model a 2 to 2.5% decline in new car prices. It's been the opposite over at Stellantis and over at Ford. We know that average transaction prices for a Ram 1500, for example, or a Ram pickup truck are almost $70,000. The Ford product in a similar category, an F-Series, was $66,000 or $67,000. The GM equivalent was like $62,000. So GM has kind of carved out this niche of being the more affordable U.S. automaker. And their earnings show that pays. That's worth it.
I think so. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah. So you guys, you're hooked up with some GM dealers, right? What's the price on the Trax right now? Is it Trax or Track?
Trax. T-R-A-X. The Trax, you can get a Trax below MSRP. Like one of the dealers that we do we work with is $1,000 below invoice on Chevy Trax. I mean, they're losing money, but they're moving them like hotcakes. So that's like
I know, but what's that price point?
$22,000-$23,000 is as low as it can get.
Yeah, so I was at a Ford dealership 2 days ago filming, and the cheapest thing that I found on the lot was like, I think it was like $28,000. And that was after it was marked down like over 10% off of MSRP. So that's just to give you a range. It was like a little Ford Escape or whatever. That was the cheapest thing that I had on the whole lot. And this lot was jam packed. So, I mean, if GM can get a vehicle out for the low 20s, that's the way to go.
Yeah, it seems to me that unlike Stellantis and unlike Ford, they realized that there was actually an affordability crisis for people, and they did something about it. You know, we noticed when we were at the Detroit Auto Show and we first sat in the Trax that, A, it was a damn good-looking vehicle, and B, it didn't give off the sense of just being cheaply built with cheap materials. It felt nice. It looked nice on the inside. You know, how long it'll last, nobody knows. You know, it's built for them in South Korea. But you know what? A lot of Korean cars are decent cars these days, and that's a pretty big market. And so I have to believe they made a conscious decision to serve a part of the public that others decided not to.
Now let's look at the flip side. So we're talking about how General Motors has record-setting profits, and it's because they are approaching things with more of an eye towards affordability. The opposite end of the spectrum is Stellantis. Stellantis lays off 199 workers at Ram 1500 plant in suburban Detroit. The cutback in Sterling Heights, Michigan, is the latest in a series of layoffs since the UAW members ratified their contract with Stellantis in November of 2023. So we are seeing opposite ends of the spectrum here. We know, I just mentioned it a moment ago, the average transaction price for a Ram pickup truck is nearly $70,000. That data comes from, I think it was Q3 or Q4 of last year. GM was significantly lower. We've seen layoffs at Stellantis left and right. This is now, I think, the third or fourth material layoff of either, you know, full-time or part-time workers at a Stellantis production facility. 199, 200 workers being laid off for the 1500. I mean, we were really witnessing what happens when you go too far up market. And if you watch any of the videos on YouTube, you know that those Ram 1500 trucks are being sold with humongous discounts because the dealers don't really have a choice. So I guess this is not shocking. There's no shock in the headline today, but I mean, this is kind of to be expected. Ram having to cut even more staff, I take it neither of you were particularly surprised.
I find it somewhat disturbing that almost immediately after they sign their new contracts with the UAW, they just start laying people off and letting people go, you know, and claiming because, well, things are so tough in North America. Well, the only reason they're so tough is because you priced your stuff at outrageously high prices. You priced your customers out of the market for your vehicles. That's the only reason it's so tough in North America at the moment. So I think just my personal opinion, it's like disingenuous at best that Stellantis is doing what they're doing after they had settled their contract negotiations with the UAW. It's like spiteful, and there is no reason that Ram pickup trucks should have an average transaction price that is higher than Chevy, GM, and Ford. Because as long as I can remember, and Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong, but as long as I can remember, the Ram pickup trucks were always less than Chevy, GM, and Ford, and were considered to be the cheapest option out there for a working person's pickup truck, and that was the customer base that they were trying to appeal to. And all of a sudden, they're now the most expensive.
So you can look at just the auctions like I go to, and we talk a lot about trucks when I'm talking to other dealers. And there's always, like you're saying, there's this hierarchy of how much you're going to pay for the same level truck, depending on the brand. It's always GM's always the top, throw Chevy in there too. Then it's Ford, and then it's Ram that comes in under that. So for used vehicles, and I think that's going to be the same thing going forward too. And that's what I'm seeing at auctions, even on these newer models that were, that had all these, crazy, price increases. It's still falling that, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram products are still, as far as price point goes at auctions on the wholesale level under those two other brands.
But yet on as new vehicles, they transact at a higher price. Doesn't make any sense. It is as if the executives at Stellantis just said, the hell with it. We're just going to abandon our customers that have been purchasing our products for as long as they have. We need to find whole new customers.
I've got a hypothetical question for you, Ray. So let's say that these manufacturers didn't increase the prices of these MSRPs the way that they had. Do you think whenever we went through this crazy time over the last 3 years with no production getting to these dealers, do you think the dealers would have just stepped in and then instead of us seeing $10,000 market adjustments, would we have seen $30,000, $40,000 market adjustments? Go ahead.
I think the dealers proved to the manufacturers that when there's a shortage of cars and still strong demand, that you can get more for the vehicles than what the manufacturers thought was a reasonable amount. And I believe that the manufacturers took notice of that, and that is why MSRPs increased as dramatically as they did, because the manufacturer said, the hell with this. We want that profit. We don't want the dealer to have it. We want that profit. So I think if there had never been a pandemic and if there had never been a shortage of vehicles, that Ram pickup trucks would be transacting in the low to mid 50s today. Fords would be in the mid 50s. GM products might be in the upper 50s. But it's just that everybody got greedy when they saw that they could. And now, to a certain degree, that greed is coming back to haunt many of these manufacturers and many of these dealers.
So I got one quick little anecdote. I know Zach's ready to get on to the next thing, but about 20 years ago, my stepdad, my personal hero in my life, he was a firefighter, and he bought a new GM truck. It was high 20s, low 30s, somewhere around that. And if he were to buy that same truck today, it would cost him 2.5x what he paid for it then in 20 years. And I can guarantee you that firefighter's salary has not increased by 2.5x in the last 20 years. So that's what the average working man is having to deal with if he wants to go buy a truck right now.
And go ahead, Zach.
No, I was just going to pull up. I mean, we track car price inflation back on CarEdge.com. Just Google search car price inflation, CarEdge. And I'm pretty sure if I come down here, yeah, you can see it right there. You know, we got to get some data on this we got GM right there, actually. 29.69% price increase over at General Motors over the past 5 years. Stellantis up 50.61, Ford up 37.29. So it's fascinating to hear you say what you're saying, Brandon, because GM's actually the best in terms of car price inflation of the American or the domestic brands. Their profits are, you know, record setting, which Leon made a great point in the chat. They've had record setting profits in 5 of the last 6 quarters. That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. I bash them all the time.
We bash them the least. We bash them the least.
That's the truth.
Their data sharing policies, we bash that hell of a lot. They got that class action lawsuit right now that we've covered. But I mean, I think some of this data corroborates, and it still doesn't change what you were describing, Brandon, which is it's still like ridiculous how expensive things have gotten, but they're the best of the worst.
They are. And you know, you got to give them credit for that. That they have figured out ways to keep their increases in price small in comparison to Stellantis and Ford, while finding savings in their manufacturing process and other cost-cutting measures to become even more profitable than they've ever been. So, yeah, kudos to Mary Barra, and I think she needs to ask the board to see to it that her compensation is greater than Carlos Tavares's at Stellantis. Just personally.
So I feel like we're seeing these quarters come out from all these manufacturers. They're great, right? I feel like GM is going to lag the peaks of the other manufacturers because of just what I said earlier, is that we're seeing that they had a little bit more constraint when you're looking at production. So their dealers are not necessarily overflowing. But I feel like once you see Ford and Stellantis have a couple down quarters, I think GM's going to follow, because it's just going to be an element of the market where these dealers are taking in all these trucks. And then eventually all of them, they raise to this point, and then they can't take any more trucks. At that point, they have to start turning down allocations. So it doesn't matter if the customer is suffering right now. It doesn't matter if even the dealership models are suffering right now. As long as dealerships continue to take these vehicles, that's who their customers are. So they're going to be able to put up record profits if dealerships keep saying yes to allocations. And I really think in this quarter, we're going to know soon, or next quarter, you're going to start seeing Stellantis and Ford hit their peak of their actual earnings. And just because the element of these dealerships starting to turn down these allocations. And then I feel like GM's going to follow suit. It's just going to be a quarter, two quarters behind Ford and Stellantis.
The market day supply data corroborates that. Again, Ford and Stellantis have way more days supply of inventory on dealers' lots, which would corroborate the idea that they've pumped out inventory to their dealers, which would corroborate the they're going to have a great quarter of earnings, because that's when they make money, versus General Motors, who, yeah, inevitably somewhere down the line, they're going to keep producing vehicles. They're not going to sell. But the thing, the silver lining there could be, if the prices are affordable, they will keep selling. Go for it, Dad.
Well, I was going to say, and we already know from some of our dealer partners how much Stellantis dealers are actually turning down inventory, where they are absolutely refusing to take it. Because yeah, I saw a stat today. I think it's 47% of all Dodge, Ram, Jeep, Chrysler dealers are losing money. Okay? They are not profitable dealerships. Now, that's not to say that 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, they were extremely profitable because everybody was short supply and they were overcharging. But as we've seen through inflation of their asking prices, their MSRPs, that it is costing their dealerships a poop ton of business and expense in carrying all that inventory. So when almost half of your dealer body is running dealerships and losing money annually now, that's not a good sign. That, I mean, you know, I lived through it when 50% of the mini dealerships in the country were losing money, were not profitable. It's not good when that happens, and it has to be addressed. And at this point, for instance, Stellantis, they've pretty much written off North America. Their profit centers are everywhere else, and it's like, yeah, they could care less about what goes on here.
So what does the dialogue with these regional suppliers, what does it look like right now with these dealerships?
I've got some some stuff that, unfortunately, I don't feel, maybe I'll find a way to anonymize it enough to share it publicly, but I've got some screenshots of some chats back and forth between owners and factory reps. It's bad, man. It's bad. It's like begging, literal begging, will you please take these cars? And then threatening, like, hey, if you don't, then we're not going to help. I mean, it's all the stuff we talk about.
Yeah.
I got to find a way to anonymize it and feel safe enough to share it on the internet. Well, I mean, it's insane.
I'll tell you exactly how it goes. okay, because I've been through this any number of times. Ray, we need you to take these cars. I don't need any more of your cars. I can't sell the ones that I have. Ray, if there's something you're going to need in the future, we need you to take these cars. I can't take any more of your cars. Well, then we're not going to be able to help you in the future. Well, you're not helping me now. So, you know, why should I believe you're going to be able to help me in the future? And that's the way the conversations go. You know, and if you go back to like the 80s, when there were shortages of cars at, say, Honda, and there was a certain Honda dealer that I don't know, he got all the favors he needed because he was paying off his factory reps, okay? I'm not going to mention any names, but he's got a pretty big NASCAR racing organization. You know, these things, it's you grease my palm, I'll grease yours. And right now, you know, there's nothing that what can Stellantis offer to their dealers? How are we going to help you in the future? Go out of business? I mean, what can they give you?
So I know when like me and Alex, my mechanic, he buys a lot of cars for us at these auctions, but we're a bigger buyer at a lot of these auctions than the usual dealers. So we get lots of gifts from these auction companies. Whether it's me or him, that we'll get stuff just for showing up a lot of times. So what were the gifts like from a lot of these suppliers? Like what did they look like when you were there?
I didn't get gifts, and B, I wouldn't accept the gifts. I was trying to run a business. I was trying to be a steward for the owner and trying to do it the right way. You know, I guess bribery goes a long way. I wasn't real fond of that. So, you know,
I've heard a few things along the lines of, so with Stellantis dealers, oh, if you want that TRX, you're going to have to take 50 of these other cars. That's a very common refrain that I'm hearing from factory reps. You want the really in-demand vehicles, you got to take our less in-demand ones to get allocated the in-demand ones.
I can give you the example, a similar example when I had my golf store. And Spalding was big into golf equipment at one time. Mostly golf balls. And their equipment didn't sell. And my Spalding rep said to me one time, he said, you're not getting any golf balls if you don't buy the full line of what I have. And I said, well, last time I did, I lost money on everything, including your golf balls, because you tell us, well, they sell better at $14.99, even though I pay $15.99 for it. And he said, you're either taking the whole lot or you get nothing. I said, I got a great idea. I'll take nothing. You get the hell out of my store. And I bought the Spalding golf balls from other golf stores.
That's what the dealers are doing right now. Yes. The Stellantis dealers are not taking allocation because they know they can just trade with one another to get what they need.
No. Zach's trying to reel us back in. We got to talk more about these golf balls here. So I play golf.
Yes.
And so you go and buy a nice golf ball, and it's what, $2 for a golf ball? If I'm right behind a pond and I got to make it to the green, yeah, I might as well just take money out of my wallet and just go hand it to the pond. I mean,
well, just throw your wallet in the pond.
So much already.
And by the way, may I suggest, for those of you who were thinking that it was Penske that had bribed Honda factory people, it was not. It was Hendrix. Okay, and he was convicted of it. You know, so this is public information. It's out there. He was convicted of it. It was a big scandal for both him and for Honda. And believe me, it changed how Honda factory reps were allowed to interact with GMs and dealer principals.
I want to go to the chat, guys. Before we do, I want to make a quick request. We are hiring here at CarEdge, caredge.com/careers, or head to carriage.com, go under about, and then click on careers. Specifically, we're looking for concierges to join our team. If you have any interest and experience helping people negotiating and helping people buy cars, we're hiring, we're building out that team. We have the car buying service back at Carriage, and it is taking off, which is awesome to see, but we need more hands on deck to help the community. So please go check that out, carriage.com/careers to apply.
Does that mean we can help them get dinner reservations somewhere?
You need a different concierge. Different concierge for that. Let's come to the chat, guys. We've had a bunch of thoughtful messages come through from Igor earlier in the show. At the auction today, I'm watching banks selling repoed dealer inventory that they got from dealers, not from customers, because of overextending floor plans.
Wow.
Yeah. Curtailment. You're cut off. We're taking the car. You surprised to hear that, either of you?
Not really.
I've seen it too. And I've talked to some floor plan agents, representatives, whatever you want to call them, but they call it helping dealers sell their cars. So whenever they take it to auction, it's going to dump and it's going to have that floor plan name on it. And it's going to bring way less money than a trade-in would from a franchise dealer. So that's that car dealer is then on the hook for the difference to keep their floor plan current. And I like to say this a lot. If they can't come up with that money that they probably don't have in the first place, then their floor plans are going to either get cut or greatly diminished. And if they do that, they can't buy inventory. If you can't buy inventory, you can't sell cars. You can't make money. If you can't make money, why are you even in business?
They won't be.
Right.
Yeah. It's almost like what we were talking about yesterday with the credit crunch for consumers. We were looking at the auto loan delinquency rate. Santander, I don't know if you saw it, Brandon, has a 13.35% auto loan delinquency rate out of their nearly $42 billion in auto loans. The same stuff happens at the dealer level, and it has the same negative impact on your credit and your ability to have your credit worthiness. So it's super, super interesting what's going on.
One of our viewers noted that the top three banks with auto delinquencies service, I think it was 35% of the market. That's the bigger story. So
you're going to see consumer repos and you're going to see dealer repos at the auction. It's insane. Yeah. It's incredible to think. Mark reminding us, record profits for automakers, the big three, and laying off people. Yeah, it is fascinating. All last year when they were in the UAW negotiations, it's about how their businesses were struggling. We talk about how their businesses are struggling because they're oversupplying dealers with inventory. The EV transition isn't working out as well as they had thought. Yet they still come out with record-setting profits. It is, I will say it. A new word for us, rather than shocked, I'm dismayed, astonished, alarmed, and even flabbergasted.
Yeah. I like that
this is the case.
On top of that, I'll say we're now voting for higher CEO pay. Look, I'll look into the camera for this one. Stellantis, if you want someone to run your company into the ground, I'll take a tenth of what you're paying that dude. Just hit me up.
Wow, you're not bashful about that.
A 10. We've got here from Blues Cast. This morning we hit the Jeep Ram dealer in Rockville, so up the road from where I am here in DC. The cheapest item on the lot was a Hornet that was nearly $50,000. That's absurd. Wow. Then we went to the Chevy dealer next door and can't find a Trax on the lot. Yeah, the Trax are hot selling. They are really hot selling. We can help you out back at Carriage. We definitely can help you on the Trax, but they're moving fast because they're sub $25,000, sub $30,000. Imagine paying $50,000 for a Dodge Hornet, guys. Now get out of that nightmare and come back to reality. I mean, that's financial suicide.
Yeah, just buy the Alfa Romeo instead.
Then you've got Igor and David in the chat talking about how Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram products do depreciate higher than other brands. Ram discounts will destroy the resale value of those vehicles. We're already seeing that when you go and do like instant cash offers for Chrysler, Ram, Jeep or Dodge products back on carriage.com/sell. You see it. You see that the values are just falling off a cliff.
Exactly. And we see it especially on the EVs.
Let's help out NJ Youth Football really quick. And then a couple more messages in the chat and we'll call it a day. I'm going to go here to carriage.com. Going to go to the car search. Pops, would you mind reading out for me? Well, I don't need to be that zoomed in. What that VIN number is? What the
VIN is? Volvo. Nancy. Oh, the hell with it. Volvo Nissan. One, Nancy, Kenneth.
Nissan,
whatever. Kenneth. Larry.
No. It's Lincoln. They spelled out Vin, and then they started the Vin. So take out VIN from the beginning.
What would we do without you, Brandon? All right, you ready to try again, Dad?
Yeah, let's try this again. That looks like it would be K L 47 L A E 22 R B 048746.
Speeding up on me there at the end.
I'm sorry.
All right, we've got a 2024 Buick Envista Preferred. NJ Youth Football is saying, is there any way that the dealership will do $20,000 out the door for 3.9% financing for 60 months with $0 down?
So zero chance.
Yeah, zero chance. So let's explain why. This Buick Envista has a $24,685 MSRP, manufacturer's suggested retail price. It's been on their lot for 160 days. The target discount from CarEdge is 8%. The reason you will not get down to a $20,000 out the door price, and we can look at it here. Let's scroll all the way down. Out the door price calculator right here. Even if this you didn't buy it at MSRP, you bought it at $2,000 under MSRP, you still have the doc fee, you still have your state taxes, you still have the title fee, and you still have the registration fee. So you're going to run into some challenges here. So you'd need a $7,000 dealer discount to get to an out-the-door price of $20,000.
And that's not happening.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
There's not much I guarantee, but I guarantee that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've got from Cloepo here. Brandon, you ever been to Puerto Rico?
I have not. I've been to a lot of islands. We used to do cruises all the time, and then we had a kid, and then all my hopes and aspirations just got flushed down the toilet. So there you go.
Oh, my. Well, Cloepo, thanks for the kind contribution. Mofongo, we're trying some next
year. Yeah, we're going to have some Mofongo when we're there. And by the way, Cloepo, I think we're doing Carly's in Old San Juan because they play jazz at night. So I think we're doing that Monday night.
And we've got here from Jerry.
Wait a minute. How do you guys get a takeoff? Like if who's going to be running the show? The show has to go on.
What, you this
want
access, show?
You want the channel, man? You can have the channel for a week.
Yeah, hey, you guys want me to just host the show for a week? Put it down in the comments. Yeah, if you want me, and I don't have to have any agenda, and Zach can put whatever titles and thumbnails he wants, but we ain't talking about whatever he's gonna put on that on the title.
All right, let us know in the chat from Gerard. Thank you, Gerard. Looking at getting a Hyundai Palisade SEL Premium or higher. For new, they are offering 3.99% financing for 60 months. Never bought new before, but I think with used rates and used to new price delta right now, it might make more sense to buy new. You can probably negotiate a decent deal on a Palisade. They had been very, very, very difficult to negotiate for a long time, but now supply over at Hyundai Kia has built up significantly. So I know it maybe pains Brandon's ears to hear this, but yeah, I'm thinking new on that. Take the finance incentive and ride off into the sunset.
Yeah, and so far, the vast majority of folks want Brandon next week. They might want to
use the email templates back on CarEdge.com. That's a good first place to start. And then put your OTD quote on the community forum, CarEdge.com/community. We'll get some eyes on that to help you.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen, getting into my beach body show. Well, I'll never be in my beach body shape, but hell, I'll never have a beach body. But it was good to get that little bit of workout in. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There we go.
So, Brandon, if you do the show next week, are you going to do that for the super stickers?
Absolutely not.
Oh, God.
I don't get paid enough around here to be doing all that.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right. Well, everyone, please go check out Brandon's channel. You can see it on his hat there, Car Questions Answered. Brandon, it's very generous of you to spend some of your day with us. He's got two channels, Car Questions Answered and also CQA Live.
Yeah, let me plug some. So we got a live coming up in 25 minutes. Join in. And I am going to talk about some disasters of me dealing with this YouTube thing.
Okay. Wow. All right. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, I think I'll be there.
All right. Well, I'll tune in for that. And then let's help Sibley out and then let you get on over to your channel. Hi, guys. Thank you, Sibley. I have a 2021 Pilot EXL lease ending soon with a residual value around $23,000, but the car is selling for $30,000 these days. Not sure what to do. While you explain it, Pops, I will pull up our guide so that Sibley can favorite it or bookmark it.
Well, if you think you can sell it for $30,000, or if you think its real market value is somewhere around $30,000, even if it's $28,000, and you can buy it for $23,000, I don't know. I'd buy whatever I could for $5,000 to $7,000 below its real market value. So it might make sense for you to purchase it. And if you don't want to keep it, purchase it and sell it yourself. And whatever you sell it for above that $23,000, that profit goes into your pocket. And think about this for a second. If there's $5,000 worth of profit, divide that by the 36 months, and that's how much less that lease actually cost you over that 36 months.
We've got here in the chat the link, Sibley, to our end of car lease guide. Please go check it out. And Robert, we will be studying while we're away on vacation the proper phonetic code. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Brandon, we'll check out your channel in just a little bit. Thanks for spending some of your day with us. Pops, yes, I love you very much.
I love you as I love both of you very much. But I love you too, more than I love Brandon. Just saying.
I'm going to hit the button. Goodbye, everyone.